Have your Bible. Turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter number 17. Book of Matthew, chapter 17. We're going to read from two different places this morning. Then we'll be in Luke, chapter number 1. First of all, Matthew, chapter number 17. And if you'd go down with me to verse number 15, please. I'll back up to verse 14. It says, "And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him, and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire, and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting." Notice the last phrase in verse number 20. "And nothing shall be impossible unto you." Turn with me to Luke chapter number 1. Luke chapter number 1. And notice as I read this story, verse 31. Luke 1, verse 31. It says, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be what?" Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can have in our hands this blessed Word of God. Thank you for its truth. Oh God, today we stand upon the authority of this truth, believing its every word. We pray that you would just cause it to sink deep within our soul. Do the work that you've intended for it to do today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. Two times we find a magnificent phrase that really nothing is impossible with God. God who flung the stars into space, created the heavens and the earth, God is able to do anything. However, we might put a little stipulation there. God cannot do wrong. We know that. And thank the Lord, He is always righteous. He is holy. We find that in the book of Luke, it talks about the birth of Christ to a virgin, a woman who had never known a man. And he talks about an old woman who was considered barren, both of them bearing a child. One is used to help Mary to understand, hey, what might seem impossible to men is possible with God. The first story we read, we found that Satan has tremendous power. But when we will believe God, we can see God do tremendous things in even casting Satan forth. And so with God, all things are possible. I want us to stop today And I'd like for us to see things as God sees them. See things as God sees them. No doubt this week you've had a problem. How many have had a problem this week? Okay, I see one woman with two hands up. All right. And probably some will say, yes, give up. We have problems. How many had a challenge this week? You had a challenge. All righty. How many of you, your arm is broken, you can't raise it? Just leave it down, please. Yes, most of you. We have challenges. We have problems. We have persecutions. I mean, we have people say things to us that hurt us. Sometimes because we're Christian. Sometimes because we're stupid. But, I mean, sometimes because we just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and the things of the Word of God. By the way, expect that to get worse in days to come. Because there are things that we look at from the Word of God that we can't back away from, but now it's becoming unpopular to believe some of those things. So, well, we look and we see these kinds of things. All of us, I mean, we've had problems. But God doesn't want us to see problems as we see them. God wants us to see those things as He sees it. Wouldn't it be great if you could see all that as He sees it? Matter of fact, I believe that's what faith probably is all about. You know, every time we find a Moses, we find there's a crowd of naysayers. I mean, there are folks there that say, you can't do it, Moses. But at the same time, praise God, there are those who are there saying, yay. Some say nay, some say yay. Moses was on the mountain praying, and Joshua's down in the valley below, and they're fighting the battle. And Moses got his arms in the air, and he's praying to God, and the victory's being won. And his arms get heavy, and thank God those two men, Aaron and Hur, didn't sit there and say, Moses, you just don't have any strength. Why don't you just give up? No, they got under his arms, lifted them up themselves. They became yay-sayers. So you find that those kinds of things everywhere you go. Whenever you find the work of God taking place, you have those who are doom and gloomers. You ever notice that? I mean, there are those who say, everything's falling apart, but there ought to be amongst us those who are bloomers. And I don't mean those silly things women used to wear. There ought to be things that are in our hearts and our lives are saying, hey, listen, God has great blessings and great victories. Listen, if you're saved today, you're a child of God. Amen? If you're saved, you're a child of God. Amen? If you're saved today, you're a child of God. Amen? Some of you might get excited pretty soon. I mean, He's the King of the universe. I mean, think about that for a moment. You have Christ dwelling inside of you. You have the Holy Spirit of God within you. And listen, He who spoke the worlds into existence, He moved upon the face of the waters, and He moves in your heart and soul. That is our God. We have that today if we've been saved. He told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And you know what He said when He told us that? We looked at it Wednesday night. He said, all power is given unto me. And then He said, I will be with you. So if He is all powerful and He says to go and He's going with us, guess what's going with us? His power is there. But oftentimes we look at people and we feel powerless. We look at folks and we say, I'm scared to talk to them about Jesus. But if we'll open our mouths, we might find out that the power of God is there. Amen? We start trusting Him in those things. Listen, God is available for you and me when we will just believe Him. What was the problem? Why was they not able to cast the demons out? Jesus said because of their what? Unbelief. God says He wants you and I to look at it the way He looks at it. Luke 1:37 says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Listen, you have problems. You have challenges. You have circumstances. Whatever it is, I believe today you have a choice. I loved it. Several years ago, Doc came to me and he says, I figured out in my life there was something that I needed, and that was to make a choice. And he says, I have the choice to be happy or the choice to be sad, and I choose to be happy. By the way, do you know what? It is a choice. It is a choice. You and I have the choice today to choose to go in the right direction. I mean, we can choose to whine about our circumstances and pine away in grief. I mean, we can choose to complain and gripe and do all those kinds of things. And listen, circumstances, you're going to have them every day of your life because that's what it means, the stances that are taking place around you. And there's much, much out there that seeks to discourage us and to pull us down. You've noticed that, amen? And we can choose to go in that direction, or we can choose to praise God in our circumstances and pull away in victory. James said it this way, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations.
I don't think too often that we think that's really scriptural. Though it's in the Bible.
I mean, we look at our situations and I'm supposed to be happy about this?
Why, my dog died. The refrigerator quit working. My wash machine, I mean, it spit the clothes out. My kids fell down and broke his arm. I mean, and I'm supposed to be counting that joy. That's what God said.
We're not real good at it, though, are we? But God told us we ought to. Brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. I looked it up. There's a phrase in the Bible. It says, and it came to pass. You know how many times it's in the Bible? I mean, stop thinking about this. It came to pass. Every problem you've ever had, it's going to come to what? Every situation in your life is going to come to, no matter what it is, it's going to come to 396 times in the Bible it says, and it came to pass. And somehow we fail to recognize that. Remember, they went through the Red Sea. They were on the west side at one time, and the water was covering the land. But we find not too long after that, God sent a wind, the waters parted, they walked over on dry land. Not only that, when they got on the other side, the Egyptians came, and God says, that's it. And whoop, the waters came back. And they, by the way, they think they have found where that took place at in the Red Sea. Some people say, well, that took place in a place called the Reed Sea. And when the wind blew, it was only just a couple of feet. And so the waters was parted and they were able to walk across on dry land. A little girl in Sunday school heard that and she says, praise God. That's a greater miracle than I thought it was. Because not only did they get across on that little 2-foot water, but it drowned all the armies of Pharaoh in 2 foot of water. Listen, they went through the Red Sea. I mean, think about Jonah for a moment. He was running from God, but you know where he ended up? On dry land that he might walk to Nineveh where God wanted him to start with. I mean, he got through the situation. The disciples, they're going across the sea, as Jesus said, and the storms come right out there in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. But guess what? They got to the other side. Things come to pass. Consider today, Jesus went to the cross of Calvary. And yet we find He what? Came up out of the grave. I love this song. I like Easter time. We ought to do it more often. Up from the grave He arose with a mighty triumph o'er His foes. Amen? I mean, does that get you excited a little bit? Yeah, Jesus went through some things. You're going to go through some things, but we need to see it as God sees it. And that is, God sees it as a stepping stone. God sees it as something to help us and to make us better. Too often we're like the blind men that saw indistinctly after Jesus healed them. This is what it says in Mark 8:23. He took the blind man by the hand, led him out of the town, and when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up. That means he saw. And said, I see men as trees walking. I've often wondered, how did he know? Because he'd never seen any of that before. But he says, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. You know what I believe we need to do? We need to confess, as this man did, that we don't see it as God sees it, and let Him touch us again. Let us see it as God sees it. All things are possible. You and I, we get so weighed down with all of our burdens, with all the problems that are in our lives, and we walk around and it's woe is me, woe is me, woe is me, when it ought to be praise God from whom all blessings flow. Listen, I'm going to tell you what. I know the words to woe is me a whole lot better than I know the song praise God. I've sang it far too many times. But it's a choice I don't have to make. Amen? It's a choice I don't have to make. Why are some people all the time they're happy? They just choose to be. They choose to see things as God sees it and how we ought to. Let me just take you to a couple spots for a few moments this morning. You know, when God sees a sinner, God sees something different than you and I do. We go downtown Omaha late at night and we see somebody laying on the gutter and there's vomit under his head, and I mean, he's asleep and he's all, his clothes are terrible looking, and we look at that guy and we just say, boy, what a bum. God looks at him and sees somebody he loves. God looks at him and sees somebody that he died for. John 3:16 sums it up very well when he says, for God what? So loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. You see, God sees it different than we do. And that'd be true of those who are lost in this world. And oftentimes we get so angry with the world, we get so angry at this and that, and yet they are people who need the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about this for a moment. God, when He spoke the worlds into existence, took 6 days. At the end of the sixth day, when He had created man, and God had looked at the whole works, God said, it's very good. Not just good. He said, it's very good. In other words, there was no badness in it. There was nothing wrong with it. And He pronounced it very good. But something took place not too many days hence. When the devil came to Eve and the temptation was met and they partook of the fruit that God had forbidden them, and sin tarnished the whole situation and brought a curse upon them. God had told them, there's one thing you cannot do, and that's to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You see, they were in innocency. They were living like a little baby. They don't know right nor wrong. I mean, it takes a while before those things begin to gel in their minds. You all knew it was wrong to do things in your pants, right? Babies don't know that. They do things in their pants. And we have to clean them up. I mean, they don't know it's wrong that when you're eating your dinner to burp. Matter of fact, we encourage it when they're little, and then we discourage it when they get bigger. I mean, they don't know. And that was the way God made us to start with. Oh, with wonderful knowledge, perfect knowledge, but they did not know anything that was right or wrong. All God said was, don't touch that tree, or don't eat of that tree. And the devil came and he offered that to them. And when that happened, the curse that God said would come did come. He said, the day ye shall eat thereof, ye shall surely die. You see, the wages of sin is death. Now listen to me. The theory of evolution is wrong. There was absolutely no animals, no plants, nothing died until the day Adam and Eve ate of that tree. And it wasn't Adam that died. For God so loved the world, and for God so loved Adam, and God so loved Eve, that He made a provision for them, and one died in their place. You see, in the day they ate thereof, there surely was one that died. And that animal, which I believe was probably a lamb, as we see it depicted throughout Scripture, that animal and that skin was taken from that animal to cover what now they saw as nakedness. And you and I have the same wonderful privilege in the Lord Jesus Christ who died for us. And the curse that is upon you and upon me, Jesus took upon Himself. Here's the gospel. Here's the good news. You don't have to work for that. You just simply have to believe it. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. Faith is believing. Faith is simply believing what God has told us about ourselves, our sinfulness, and about He who died for us. And He offers to you and I a covering in the Lord Jesus Christ. The choice is ours to accept or reject that covering. But God sees sinners different than we see them. And God sees them with love. And God sees them with an offer that they can receive that wonderful thing called eternal life. Let's hear all that verse. For God so loved the world that He what? Gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not but have everlasting life. Think about that a minute. Whosoever. What's your name? Symphony? Oh, that's a pretty name. Whosoever means symphony. I can't even say it. Symphony, right? This is Emily. That means whosoever is Emily. That's Q. That means whosoever is Q. Isn't that something? So it's talking about all of us right here. Oh, and those folks back there. Matter of fact, it's talking about everybody everywhere. Amen? God sees it much different than you and I do. But may I say this? When God sees a saint, He sees us different than we see each other. When God looks at those who've accepted Christ, and by the way, that's what a saint is. I mean, the Bible talks about that Paul, when he wrote to the saints at Philippi, he's talking about those who are saved. And when God sees a saint, He sees a perfect man. I look at Larry, I don't see a perfect man there. Larry, you can't even see well. You're like me, you need these things. They haven't gotten any better as the years gone by, have they? No, they haven't. Your hair used to be a different color, too. Wow. If you turn right straight around, you'll see my mother-in-law right behind you. She's wearing out. They're going to give her a new knee. Going to go to the parts house and get a new knee. She's already had a new shoulder. She thinks, I need a new brain. Yeah. You've done wrong. William, let's talk to Brandon for a moment. What about him? Is he perfect? Does he ever give you trouble?
Every day.
Time out. William, it's Brandon. Does he ever give you trouble? All the time. Brothers. And both of them think it's the other guy's fault. Both of them are right. Both of them are wrong. Yeah. Ben, I know your daddy. I know what you inherited. Yeah. He got it from his mother. Yeah. We look at each other. We don't see perfection, do we? Hi, Bobby. How many look at Bobby and say, oh, there's a perfect woman? But God does. God does. See, how does He do that? Because you are in Christ. In Christ. That's an amazing thing. For when we get saved, when God sees us, He's really seeing Christ. We are in Him. Really. And Jesus was what? Perfect. Yeah. But we look at each other and we find all the faults. We see all the things. Wouldn't it be good if we started seeing each other as God sees each other? As God sees us? Wouldn't it be good if we started seeing each other as the saints of God and thinking about how God is working in our lives and doing these wonderful things, instead of looking at and seeing all the bad things in each other's life? And all, yeah, I forgot, most of us like to gossip about those things to somebody else, don't we? But I think what we need to do is let our eyes see as God sees. Wow. Though we buck, we revolt, we rebel, we dodge, we even run away, God is still in the making process in your life and mind. And all these things that you and I are going through, God is seeking to do something to make us in the eyes of each other as He sees us. It's called sanctification. God is seeking to do a work in our lives. God sees a saint, He sees a perfect man, and one that He is perfecting. When we see roadblocks, God sees highways and overpasses. How many of you have been to Costa Rica with me? Can you raise your hands real quick? You've been to Costa Rica with me? You remember the church? I can't even remember the name of the town. Is it Alavera or something like that? How do you say it? Bob, how do you say the name of the town? It always leaves me. You remember? It's very close to the airport, the main international airport, as you come into Costa Rica. And it was the area that Brother Ron Todd began his work many, many years ago. And they began to meet people and won some folks to Christ, and a church was formed. And they came to a spot where they wanted to buy some property, and God allowed them to buy some property. And then they wanted to build something on that property so they could meet just like you and I do. They'd been meeting in homes and different places, and they were now at this spot. I believe that the pastor who was there now had been installed not too much previous to that time, and they were really praying, asking God to do something. They came to Ron to ask him to do him a favor because the property they lived on was very low. When it rained, the water would collect there, and they needed to put quite a bit of fill dirt in. There's a freeway and some highway that's not very far off, and I kind of imagine in my mind that years ago when they built that, they dug the dirt out of this area. It was an area they bought and felt God's leadership in it, but now they knew they could not build that church unless this land was built up, because you'd be building in a hole. And so they began to pray and ask God. Then they came to Ron and they says, "Would you write back to the American churches and ask them to send us money so that we can get this taken care of?" And Ron very wisely said, "No. Your God is not American people. Your God is the same God they have." And he taught them the most valuable lesson that oftentimes missionaries miss. You need to let God do His work in your lives. They prayed and they said, "God, we need this hole filled up." And one day the pastor, he got so excited because he went to work, and he worked for this place that they made some kind of pottery stuff, and they would throw a lot of this away and there'd be big piles of it. And he said to his boss, he says, "If I come over my truck and load that up and bring it over, could I have that?" And he said, "Yeah, you can do that." And he thought, praise God. We got all this stuff right here. We can take it over there and dump it in that hole. We can raise it up. They got the men of the church together, and they all went over to the place where he worked at on a Saturday. They loaded up the truck that they had, took it over to that spot, and they dumped it all out. And they got up on the bank a little ways and they looked down. And after all the excitement and all the work, they thought, "It looks like we just put a thimbleful through there. This would take us years on Saturdays to fill a pickup up to do this." Brother Hong, would you write back to your church? No, no, no. You've got God. And so they prayed. By the way, remember, faith does what? According to our scripture, moves mountains. I don't remember the time frame. It was a matter of just a few weeks or days. The pastor there, he gets a call from a big company. And this company is going to do some work on this building. And if I remember correctly, it's a Japanese company. They call him up and they say, "We notice that you own some property there and it's very low. And we've got this place over here we've got to dig all this dirt out of. Could we pay you to bring that dirt over and put it in that hole? Would you let us do that?" Is God real? You see, we look at the impossibilities. We look at the holes. God looks at the mountains that can be filling those holes up. 40-some years ago, a very similar incident happened in the college I went to and the church I went to in Pontiac, Michigan. On the college grounds was this big hill. And it kind of separated between where the main building was at and a really nice golf course that was there. And they really wanted to get that hill taken down because they couldn't really do anything with it. I mean, it's there, but the rest of the land's pretty flat and they didn't know what to do with it. And one day, the state came to Dr. Malone's office and they said, "We want to change the road right out in front of the church," which, by the way, was a blessing. The church was on Telegraph Avenue. I mean, it stood only 15 feet back from the busiest road in between Pontiac and Detroit. They said, "We want to move the road out away from the church and have kind of a bypass right through this area of town. And this road will stay here, but most of the traffic will go out there." And they said, "But we need a lot of dirt. And we notice up there at the school there's this big mountain of dirt. We'd like to buy that mountain from you so we can build this road out here." Can God move mountains? Yeah. Oh, and they got paid for it too. Is God amazing? You see, we see the problems. God sees the solutions. We so often look at all the situations we are in and we don't realize God has a way through it. Elijah, I'm sure, felt all alone, but God answered his prayer with fire from above. Can you imagine Daniel as they cast him into the den of lions? And yet he was not lion's food that night. He did not spend the night in their tummies. He spent the night with his head on their tummies. The Bible uses the terms that Satan would bruise the heel of Christ. And certainly that took place as the nails sunk deep into his feet. But Christ threw off the chains of death and bruised Satan's head. God did not say to you and I that He is the way that we might walk in the ditch. God has a way through all of it for us. He didn't tell us that He is the truth that we might believe the lie of defeat. He is the way through it. We need to see it as God sees it. And too often we look at those problems that seem to loom so much in our face. And we put on blinders like we used to do with the horses. And that's all we look at. When in reality, God wants to take us through it. It came to pass. With God, all things are possible. Nothing shall be impossible. We need to see it as God sees it. Christian, that lost loved one that you don't think will ever listen to the gospel may be the next one to get saved in your family. That person that you work with that is absolutely a horrendous problem, you have no idea what God may be up to in their life. I worked with a Norwegian in Seattle. Big, strong Norwegian. His name was Kurt. I don't know why, but there was a job that opened up in our... We had just a small group of men, probably 15, that worked there. And there was a job that opened up, and they asked me to do it. I didn't see it as a promotion or anything of the nature, but Kurt did. I was the youngest guy there. And he was really mad. And he hated me. I'd walk into work and I'd get sneers. It got to where I didn't want to work there anymore. I felt horrible pressure. And when it came time to lunch, we all come down together. I would sit there almost in silence because I could just feel the stares from Kurt. I don't know what happened. But one day, it was gone. And not too many days after that, God led me to leave Seattle and to come back here to start this work. And Kurt almost cried. And for a lost man, wish me great luck. I don't know whatever happened to him, but I know that God took care of a situation. God sees us through it. We don't always see all those things, but God takes us through it. We just need to believe Him. Amen. First, in the way of salvation, God sees you as one He loves. Child of God, you believe in Him, God sees you as a saint upon whom He is seeking to work and to mature and to... He's allowing all these things to happen to do that to you. I've worked with wood enough to know that if you're going to have a nice piece of lumber that is going to be able to be used and on display, there's a lot of rough treatment it's going to have. It's going to be sawn. It's going to be ripped. It's going to be sanded. It's going to be planed. I mean, all these things are going to take place. And the workman is busy taking off all the rough stuff, that he might bring forth the beauty of that piece of wood. I mentioned Larry a while ago. Larry's a carver. They take a piece of wood, and he's got all kinds of different knives. And he begins to work on that wood. If you talk real nice, maybe I'll bring one of his pieces someday. You can see what I'm talking about. Elaborate. Detailed. And makes into something just beautiful. What's the master doing? He's cutting away that which is in the way of beauty. And see, God sees the beautiful you, and He's seeking to bring that out in those things. And by the way, Christian, if we would start seeing that the way God sees it, it might give us a whole lot better attitude to our brothers and sisters in Christ. And realize that He's the way, He is the truth, He is the life. Just let Him be who He is and quit walking in the ditches. Father, today, work in our hearts. There's a need in each of our lives. We're so prone, oh God, to complain and to bellyache, to make the choice to go on the way of misery. Oh God, forgive us. I pray that You would change our belief about those things. you might not have to upbraid us as we pass by the miracles because we just didn't believe you. God, work in our hearts. No doubt in this room today, Lord, there's someone that needs to be saved. No doubt there's somebody in this room today is defeated, and they just need to make the choice to let you do what you're going to do. God, work in hearts. And may we be responsive to that working. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.